What's up, everybody? This is Sight to the Blind Podcast. Let's start off with some celebrity news. As I said before in this show, that Jussie Smollett and anything that the occult does is all managed, and they all do it just to pervert and mess with your emotions. I knew he wasn't going to go to jail. You should know that none of these celebrities are in jail. You got to believe R. Kelly's not in jail, and you got to believe Ghislaine Maxwell is not in jail. Anything that we would do, we would get in trouble double for lying to cops or trafficking or sex trafficking children. We would have been put under the jail. But because they have signed an oath of protection, which is sign an oath to either Freemasonry, Prince Hall Freemasonry, or whatever satanic cult that they belong to, they are the reason why they are allowed to pervert law, because they signed up for these. They signed up to be rituals. They signed up to give their life to pervert your emotions. Their whole platform is based on fooling you, and they get rewarded after that. Jussie Smollett, as soon as he went away for like what, a couple of months, now he's back with a directorial debut for BET+. He already got a job. He didn't slow down. He got promoted, which I knew he would. This is what they do. This is what they do to you. This is what why they have you following celebrities and getting involved with celebrities' lives. The same thing with Lori Harvey and Michael B. Jordan. She did a photo shoot with a goat. All of a sudden, goats are a big thing now. 5-6 years ago, people weren't doing photo shoots with goats. Now she's doing one with goats. And I explained to you before, in the rules of the Zohar, in the rules of Kabbalah, they believe filling up their celebrity sacrifices or their celebrities or their idols with sin. So as much sin they can accumulate with these celebrities, they present them as a goat to be sacrificed, as it states in the Zohar, to the god of Esau, which is Satan. They think Satan is going to provide protection through sacrifices. This is what most all occult or mystery religions were based on, giving up blood or sexuality to appease a god. It was the same way in Rome. It was the same way in Greece. It was the same way in Babylon. It's the same way in Egypt. They try to dumb it down by calling it fertility. It was sexuality rituals. I was watching a documentary about it just happened to land on that. They were talking about Egypt. For some of you African-Americans that believe that you're a Hamite or believe that you descend from pharaohs, let me tell you about what these pharaohs did. Some of these pharaohs did. They would bury themselves with dildos. Yes, with dildos. Those fertility worship dolls with, you know, the boobs and the butt out. The women would be buried with those, and the men would have basically carved up dildos, carved up penises, and would put them in the caskets, or when they were getting mummified, they would put them in their tombs. I don't know why. Seems kind of suspect to me, but this is what black men want to be. Black men think they're pharaohs. I can't tell you how many Instagram pages of people who really are digging into the truth, but they come with this personality and this character as if they were Hamites or as if they were descendants of pharaohs. They don't know what pharaoh they descend from, but they think they believe they come from pharaohs. Most of these pharaohs married their mothers, married their sisters, married their daughters, married their aunts. And I see that's why this spiritual energy of Egypt is all over this country, especially when it comes to men. Because like it or not, it breeds, like Egyptology somehow breeds a matriarchal society where women are placed above the man, and men have all of a sudden in these religions, these Kemet religions, these Egyptian religions, have put the women, regardless if it's wickedness, which most likely is wickedness, men have put wickedness of women above their own self and worshiped the women that way. And became simps, became mama. It's really a mama boy religion. That's how I feel about people trying to argue with me about this polygamy in scripture. My whole point of this is to go to war. Mama's boys, which is what they are, mama's boys, because they've never been raised by a man, has never been taught by a man, have never seen a real man. Believe the first thing that comes to their mind in scriptures is the defense of having multiple wives. As if the Most High is going to come out of these clouds and turn everything over just so we can go back to men having multiple wives. The Most High could do whatever he wants, but I'm pretty sure that the Most High is not going to give certain men multiple wives who have already not had a real building of what being a real man is about. If you, as a man, your first instinct is to go into scripture and to find if you can have multiple wives and not really go to war, you a mama's boy. You wasn't raised in a household with another man and that man wanted one woman. So you've been raised by women. You've been raised by your mama. You've been raised by your aunties. You've been raised by your older sister. So you are already used to having multiple women around you. Now, because your Oedipus complex that we won't talk about, but your Oedipus complex, you desire to have your mamas and your sisters, your aunties as wives, except you want women to be these roles so you can have sex with multiple women. That's why I don't argue with men like this. My dealings in this is in scripture to go to war, to find out how my enemy is lurking. This is my show is about that. Going to war and learning how to expose your enemy and learning the tricks in the trade to really guard yourself in these end times. Because this is not the time to be trying to find multiple women to wife up. I'm pretty sure this is not the time for that. But if you're a mama's boy, you need security. You need multiple women to be your pillow, to be your comforter, to be your foundation, which is what all these mystery religions are. And it all feeds down into celebrity. So when you see females like Gloria Harvey go from man to man to man to man to man, and you see brothers go from woman to woman to woman to woman, and even you get sidetracked a little bit because it was female artists that were talking about, yeah, it's okay to bring another woman into the relationship. Now you men, because you weak and you mama's boys, you look at as, oh, if I can find this in scripture, this is what I'm going to aim my whole purpose for. This is what the Most High wants for me, is to have multiple women. And you haven't even tried to be a man yet. You haven't even raised yourself up to go against your enemy, but you want to go lay up with different women. This is what the whole point of this system does to you. It perverts your understanding. It turns everything righteous into vanity, like what I talked about on the last episode. Dwayne Wade says he's in fear of his trans daughter when she leaves out the house. Bruh, no one's even touched Magic Johnson's son. But when you create, or when you participate in such rituals as a ritualizing of your child, you have to milk that ritual. And that's all he's doing. He's milking this ritual. No one's out here trying to destroy nobody's child because they decided to be an opposite gender or opposite sex. No one's doing that. You haven't heard not one celebrity child who's ever been accosted or assaulted for their beliefs or what they do. And you have to believe no one's even in the same vicinity as these celebrity kids. They're always protected. They don't go to the same schools as everybody else. So what is he talking about? He's in fear. It's just hilarious what black people are made to do in this society, in this system, to be famous, to be rich. I mean, fam, I wish I could have had like a longer career, like a career like here, like 10, 11, 12 year career, and just go home. Fam, go home. I don't get why brothers want to get into this Prince Hall Freemasonry and get into Freemasonry and do this to their children. I don't know what gene or genetics that makes you do that. I just don't. I don't know what personality that you have that was built up when you were, you know, through either your parents or wherever you come from. I don't know what that is that make you be like, yeah, I want to be, after all the money I made, I want to be a part of this society because I want more. Beyonce's album is coming out. Now, she dropped hints all week. But as I stated before, it's an album that is coded. What they do is code these albums. Just like as I showed, if you've seen my Instagram when I posted the Prince video of him talking about 9/11 in the Netherlands in 1998, and it showed a compilation of album covers that were basically predictive programming you with the Twin Towers burning up or crashing or with planes. This is what they do. They use the music industry. People think, oh, Beyonce's coming back, yeah. And don't see the underlining language that goes along. You don't see the fine print that goes along with these album releases. These artists don't produce albums and do these songs when they feel creative juices are flowing. They're told to do certain things. The CIA pretty much runs Hollywood. If the CIA runs Hollywood, I know they run the music industry. Because the CIA is the ones who are watching everything you say and do and how you interact with each other so they can make a ritual out of it or get it a way to exploit what you do. So like just like words. When woke was a word. When black folk came out with woke, now you had white corporations trying to woke up everything. And to the point that white folk are mad every time they see a black character, they went woke. Or they see a gay character, they went woke. They pretty much take our language and twist it and make it something else, which is what they've been doing because they do it with the Bible. If they did it with scripture, I'm pretty sure they're going to do it with African-American vernacular. They take everything they see us and watch us do, they'll twist it and try to make money off of it. This is what these people do. That's why I say when demons can't create, they only manipulate. So who the demons are following? The chief demons, the prince demons, and the demons on top of demons, they all listen to Satan. He's doing what he does, which is lie and pervert. Mix truth in with lies. Manipulate the truth. That's what he do. So back on this Beyonce album, she's coming back after 6 years. Okay, we already see the number six being in play. She announced this on the 16th of June, which I've said before, the 16th tarot card is the tower card. It means destruction. That build back better, that attack on America. The destruction of the economy. Higher inflation, the interest rates are going to go through the roof. I'm saying maybe by next winter into spring, it's going to be a problem. That's why they push back the, if you have financial aid, you have to pay, you know, your college, which you loan, your college loans. You got to eventually pay those back. And they're going to start that loan payment. They're going to catch you right in the middle of this inflation, right in the middle of this interest rates. So everything is gonna go out of whack. And this is what they do with these albums. They put these albums out to show you these things, these warnings are coming, so they can say, well, we told you, but most of you don't understand the language that they even use. You don't know the numerology of it. But studying it, you actually will find out how things are gonna be predicted and how things are gonna be programmed. So of course, the month of June is the 6 months, so another six is in play. This is her seventh studio album. Seven is the seventh letter in the alphabet, which is G. And we all know G, geometry, G, Freemasonry, G in the square and compass. So we already know this is a Masonic programming. She's going to release on 7/29. Seven, you take the 29 by itself, 2 + 9 is 11. That brings it to 7/11. Because it's in July, in reality, it's inverted. So really, 7/11 is really 9/11. Because September, Sept means 7, and Ember means to burn, or the color orange, which is a warning. Donald Trump has been, if you look up Donald Trump, accidentally misspoken or fraudulent slip and said and called 9/11 7/11, it was a reason why he did that. It wasn't a fraudulent slip. Him being a Mason, he knew exactly what he was saying. So basically, all they did was flip the 7 into the 9. Because July, 7. But September, or Sept, means 7. So actually, it went to 9. So they mean 9/11. So what she's doing, she's already programming you with the fall of this economy or higher inflation or higher interest rates. She's predicting, she's programming you, prophesizing that something worse is going to come. You already seeing Bitcoin crashing or going into free fall. You see the stock market is all of a sudden tanking. That it was only but a couple of weeks ago they were saying everything was good. People were announcing positive results. Now it's tanking. She did a cover shoot for British Vogue, and she's on a what? Red horse. If you go to Revelation 6, I'm telling you, they know scripture. If anybody knows scripture, it's Satan. He knows scripture, and he knows numerology of scripture. So Revelation 6, verse 3 and 4, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So when people are broke, people are evicted, people don't have resources, you see them burning up food processing plants. You've seen 2,000 to 3,000 cows die in an hour in Kansas and say, oh, it was the heat, when really it was 80 degrees at that time. And someone, you know, backtracked it or did the research and found out the last 10 years it's been 80 to 90 degrees and these cows never died all at once under an hour. And what they're trying to do right now, the program you're saying it was the climate, is some weird storm that they took a picture of that has some type of red flare. That in itself is still a predictive program that is still prophesying what is to come. Now, she's sitting on this red horse, coincidentally the same as what's mentioned in Revelation 6, 3, 4. I'm telling you, they're telling you what's going to happen. But people all want to hear another Beyonce. And like I said before on the last episode, they literally are going to watch you jump and dance up to Beyonce songs for a good week or two. And then, you know, your ADHD will kick in and you'll be over it. I mean, it's inflation. Everything's going to be inflated. I mean, it's people not going to the clubs like they used to and spending money frivolously. Rent is rising. People are not doing too much. There's only but too much you could do. Even the airline tickets are not going down. They're skyrocketing too. Because they have to compensate for the inflation. All of a sudden, no one's even talking about COVID anymore. But they are talking about this monkeypox. And they're talking about this monkeypox affecting bisexual and homosexual men. Which is really retarded. Well, it's not really retarded. But if you knew the etymology of monkeypox, you know it didn't come out of Africa. It came out of vaccines. It's been said, and if you look in, I think it was either Pfizer or one of these reports that were released, said that it's an autoimmune disease or reaction to the COVID-19 vaccine was this monkeypox disease. They just called it monkeypox, and they're saying they're trying to change it. But every time you see it on mainstream media, which is run by the tiny hats, they only use black people. This monkeypox virus is affecting bisexual and homosexual men in all of Europe. You only keep seeing pictures of black hands and black backs. That's in itself, you should know where your power lies or how much power you do have. That they really go out of their way to make it seem like every disease ever known to mankind originated out of Africa. When literally the bubonic plague or the Black Death ripped up Europe, killed what, maybe millions? Because they were filthy? Because they don't know how to wash and had to be taught how to wash? Yes. They had to learn from African women how to handle their menstrual cycle. So it's no surprising that famine and plague came out of Europe. Have you seen some of these old, I like watching these old 15th and 16th century war movies, like The Last Duel and Northman. Have you seen these type of movies? Then they're going to show you how these diseases ran rampant. They live like savages. You could tell they weren't clean. But all the diseases to them come out of Africa. All right, then. Some of the smartest civilizations like Egypt. But all of a sudden, Africa got all the diseases. So every disease that come out of Africa, they got to call it a name to make it seem like we're inferior by calling it monkeypox and only showing black folk. But that's what they do. I expect them to do that. I expect people who really come from monkeys, really come from a perverted ape, who really come from the Neanderthal, I expect them to act this way. So I don't get upset. And I expect them to do this during Juneteenth, which is, you see little psyops here and there to get you upset and get you emotionally involved in Juneteenth. And that's what they do. They pervert you, your emotions, by setting up these little psyops saying some police chief said this in Canada or that they were aiming for only black people. They come out with this expecting you to be in an uproar. This is what they do. I mean, look who runs this world. It's pathetic. When you step back and look at this, it's pathetic. See, black folk, black men, we are in it to we destroy ourselves. When we get into sin and wickedness, we really destroy ourselves. But when white men come upon wickedness and sin, it's to destroy everybody. Not themselves, well, they themselves too, but they can't just stay in their little area. These African nations really didn't even branch out. Babylon, it was that one tower. They wanted that one tower to be right there. Everybody be here in Ethiopia or where the Midianites were. Be right here. Nimrod wasn't talking about going across overseas and going up to the Caucasus Mountains or going into like South America or North America. Wouldn't even no talk like that. Everybody that's here, let's stay here and do this. When you got the Horite, you got Esau, you got Japheth's children, what do? Let's spread out and contaminate everybody. Drake is also coming out with an album. He just announced that his album is coming out at midnight. But he did this announcement today. Why today? Today is June 16th. If you heard my other episodes and you see my post on Instagram, you know I've been talking about that 16th number. Everything they're doing right now is to tell you or program you for what's coming, which is economic collapse. Some of us have been talking about this for the last year, but I think we're almost at the door. Now, is there really nothing you could do? I mean, it's little that you can do. Like I said before, that's why when you learn to build up your spirit, learn to build up your discernment by either attacking your enemy or going in your prayer class and learning how to pray against your enemy so you can understand the knowledge and wisdom. So then you know when to get stuff when you need to get it, because everybody's getting is going to be different. If you read Ecclesiastes 3:3. Like, it's a time to heal and it's time to kill. It's a time to gather and it's time not to gather. It's a time to hug and it's time to fight. That scripture, this is where we're at right now. Only you can dictate when, or only you in the Most High's relationship can dictate when you need to move and when you don't need to move. I can't give you all the advice because your situation could be different from my situation. I'm only giving you what my situation is like. But you need to do the work. You need to labor so you know when to prepare. You need to understand what your enemy is saying, not only about you, but saying out loud. What they're saying, and you know, I wouldn't say out loud, but what they're saying in the fine print. Because they're always talking. When Joe Biden came out with these threats, it's like he'd been threatened, saying, oh, we're going to make everybody, we're going to go door to door and make sure everybody get the vaccine. He did that tough talk, and they couldn't do nothing. They do it to get you scared of the government. Trust me, if they had that much power, they would already be with tanks, already lining us up to get marked, to get the implant. They could have shut this whole thing down and say, you know what, get the mark tomorrow. And we're gonna make sure you get it too by having tanks on the streets and residential areas. If you think they had that much power, this is what they could be doing. Instead of donating money or money laundering to Ukraine, another $1 billion to Ukraine, instead of even doing that to fool you, they could have just kept that money, pocketed it, and just put it all in the military. It's all right, make sure all these people got the chip. It doesn't work that way. So they gotta scare you. So this is what he said regarding gun laws.
No way that Uncle Sam can go find out whether you own a gun, because we're about to really take away all your rights and you're not going to be able to defend yourself. And we're going to swoop down with Special Forces folks and gather up every gun in America.
I mean, it's tough talk. But you know what that whole quote that he just said, you know what that reminds me of? The movie Minority Report. But Tom Cruise, if you haven't watched that movie, watch that movie tonight or whenever you have time. Because if you go through it, right now they're trying to prevent domestic terrorism. In order to prevent domestic terrorism, they have to connect it to an ideology. That's why Great Replacement Theory became a big doctrine for gun laws, for anti-gun laws. They have to put it to something. They can't just say, oh, domestic terrorism, and you don't know what that is. Because it could be, I mean, obviously, you know, gangs versus gangs could be looked at as domestic terrorism. Militias, man-made militias, like Proud Boys and all that, could be looked at as domestic terrorism. But if you don't have a doctrine, if you don't have what they believe or what's in a doctrine of belief, then it really doesn't make its mark. It really doesn't protect who they want protected, which is really easy when you look at this world, what they're really trying to protect. So in Minority Report, they had these three psychics. The precogs is what they called them. Now, look at these three psychics as social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all the other, you know, the poor man's social media apps like Parler and you know, all the other ones that people are on, like BitChute and all this other stuff. If you take that as predicting human nature, predicting what people will do based on what they say. So after what these psychics do is, oh, they predict a murder that's going to happen, and then a ball comes down that says the perpetrator. Now, the perpetrator could be any of us who are speaking truth, anybody who appears to be transphobic, homophobic, or the biggest one, anti-Semitic. Those three big things. Now, if any of you saying any truth about anything about Jews or the truth or anything about homosexuality or being transphobic, if they catch you doing this on any of these on any of these apps, all they got to do is run your gun license number or see if you own a gun. I mean, it's all in the system. It's easy to do that. All they got to do is see what you believe in. That even works for us, the Awakened Israelites. Because if we start talking about Revelation, the synagogue of Satan, they're going to group that in with being anti-Semitic. I mean, if you go to my Wikipedia page, they are already saying I'm anti-Semitic. So I know I can never go get a gun. I couldn't own a gun if I wanted one. Because what they're going to do is sit there and watch you, listen to what you post. So they use that as pre-crime. That police department they call pre-crime, that's what they're using. They're going to use what you say and what you think and think that you are going to go out and hurt somebody, which you're not going to. If you have any sense of you're talking righteously, you're not going to hurt anybody. But they're going to call you a domestic terrorist. That's why they have H.R. 350, which is the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act. Then they got H.R. 4192, which is Confronting Threats of Domestic Terrorism Act. Then, of course, you know, they had the Anti-Semitism Act, which was, you know, voted on and passed right after the Buffalo shooting. So the victim would be any of these people in these protected classes. Judaism is going to be protected. Homosexuality is going to be protected. Transsexuality is going to be protected. So you can't say anything about anybody. Even if you saw, an athlete who's obviously a boy, but it's trying to be a girl, like that swimmer, you couldn't say anything about that. Just like I believe Sha'Carri Richardson is a boy. That's why she wears all that extra goofy stuff, is to take your mind off her actually having a boy body and boy mannerism and boy structure. That's why she, when you saw her, I think she won the 200 or whatever, she had like this connecting web thing. She looks stupid. I mean, they think black women look and act like this. All it is he's doing is demeaning black women by dressing up like this with these wild wigs. You never see her natural hair. I don't think you ever going to see her natural hair. But you're starting to see her body change because I think she's starting to take hormones. Before, she had no breasts. It looked like she had two pecs. Now it looked like you got a little bit of something, like you could see growth. But they're trying to cover up all that with these goofy, kooky-looking outfits they got her wearing, him wearing. I mean, I'm just following the situation, but I know he didn't sacrifice her mother for him to be third, fourth, fifth, and fourth place in these track trials. Eventually, he going to be number one. To me, in my opinion, I think he dogging it. I think he just running as much as slow as he can run just to make it seem like it's an underdog story. Oh, this person really talked all that mess and this confidence she had, and you know, she's winning now. It's the same story like the Serena and Venus story, where they had the beads in the hair, when they had the beads in the hair, completely looking like boys. Now you see them now, their body structure is completely different. If you look at a regular tennis player when she's young to the tennis player for 5 or 10 years, her bone structure should not change. But if you look at Venus and Serena when they're like in their 19s and their 20s, and in 10 years later, there's no way in the world your head should be bigger, your body and your muscle structure should be bigger. It should be no way. Especially when she's coming back. You see it even more. That's why she has that heavy eyebrow makeup or that heavy eyebrow shading to cover up the brow line, the brow ridge, which is distinctive to males. But yeah, y'all decide, y'all do the research yourself and decide on what that is. But back to the Minority Report. So basically, that's what they want to do. They want to swoop in and take your guns based on what you say on social media. That's why they kept trying to shove that great replacement theory down your throat. So if you can protect you, well, protect them from who they want to protect. Like I said before, eventually, most people are going to wake up and see and know the truth. They're going to find out that this world has lied to them. This is why it's good to wake up now and put in the work now. Because there's people who on Twitter, who on social media every single day, oblivious to what's going on. And all they do is bounce on one narrative and topic from one day to the other. It doesn't stop. Every single day is one narrative that they give you, one topic that they give you, one psyop that they give you, and they just keep giving it to you, pushing it down your throat. And then they throw out truths and lies. They throw out what they're going to do to you with these, you know, music industry plants and puppets. They tell you what they're going to do with you through them. And then when it happens, people are going to be so upset that they're going to grab weapons. They're going to be wanting to loot. They're going to be wanting to smash and grab. They're going to try to find any way to stay solvent and keep their house and keep their environment and keep their security when everything is falling apart around them. And they won't know how to do it. If you remember that Batman movie, Dark Knight Rises, you remember how people were getting snatched and pulled, like rich people getting snatched and pulled out? Now, those rich people who aren't protected by either Freemasonry or the occult, they're going to be free food for those who are hungry, for those who have not. So that's why right now they're trying to do a power grab and create all of these laws about Domestic Terrorism Act or Domestic Prevention Terrorism Act. They're doing all of this to protect them, to protect the higher class, while watch the poor kill the poor. That's what they really want. They want the poor to go to war with each other and wipe each other out so it becomes more manageable. This is what the whole population control is. This is what Revelation 6 is about. This is why Beyonce was on the red horse. We are in a time where people are going to kill each other over resources. And they know that. If you remember the beginning of Soylent Green, when people, before people knew they were eating people, they were eating these little clay discs and they were told there was something else. As soon as that shortage happened, they started rioting. They know it's coming. The only people going to be safe are, apparently, from that movie Soylent Green, was pretty people and rich people. Which, you know, which is, that ain't helping much because all the models were looked at as furniture. They kept calling them furniture. And they were only good to be in that apartment if the owner wanted them. So basically, they were only fansing for an apartment. They can only stay in an apartment if the owner, the next owner who moved into this high rise because he was rich, wanted that person in there. So basically, they telling you, women, regardless of how you look, you eventually going to start whoring yourselves out because you haven't prepared yourself. People are going to be doing a lot of weird stuff to make money. And when everybody's doing weird stuff to make money, everybody's lowering their frequency. So everybody's going to really be mad at the Most High for their own actions, for their own accountability. Because after a while, after you can't hate the government but for so long, you want to wonder why. You're going to see the power of the Most High. And then everybody's going to turn to the Most High and shake their fists at him. But like, why? Why did you do this to us? We never asked to be here. All this generation, this millennial and Gen X generation that was so proud to be saying like, oh, I want to die. I don't want to be here. You think the Most High don't understand what when people say that and joke about that? People used to joke about that. Like, oh, man, I don't want to be here. I want to die. People would joke about their own soul. So now when it now comes to fruition, based on what people have been saying about themselves, the Most High is going to turn that mirror. Be like, here, this is you. You said this and did this. You talked about your own soul like this. You lived your life this way. Oh, nobody told us. Nobody told us. Watch him go through. Like I said, the angels record everybody's actions. Everything you're doing, they're recording it. Everything. Just like people go through people's Twitter or social media feeds to find out what they said and then bring it back up in their face. People don't understand. They're going to do the same exact thing Judgment Day. The Most High is going to do the same exact thing. Oh, this you? This is what the Most High going to say to a lot of people. Oh, this you? Oh, I deserve to be in heaven. I deserve to be blessed. I deserve to not be punished. Going through what you said, Twitter, Instagram, what you believed in, what you posted, skin flicks, skin shots, whoredom, saying the N-word 1,000 times. Lying, pretending to be somebody you're not. All that going to come back on you. This is what the Masons believe, that these occult systems believe, as above, so below. They're right about one thing. What we do down here is the same way we're going to be get judged right up there. The way we judge each other is going to be the same exact way the Most High in the man is going to judge us. So that's why it was laughable when he said this about gun laws. Because really, they just want to take guns away from people who don't believe in the foolishness they believe in. They've been waiting for thousands of years to come out and say, we like to be trans, we like to be homosexuals, we like to be pedophiles, we like to eventually run up and we like zoophilia, we like having sex with animals. Eventually, that's going to come out too. It ain't going to just stop at children. No. It's going to keep going. They already have zoos all over Europe that you could go in and have sex with animals. If you remember that movie, I think it was the first Conan Barbarian movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Remember when he came down that stairs drunk and he laughing? I didn't even catch this when I watched this as a child. When you grow up and you see it in a different light, he was laughing at a dude who was having sex with a camel. So apparently, they knew through research this was going on in these ancient times. But to prepare you for what's going to happen when they start shutting down Instagram. They're going to start shutting down Facebook. They're going to shut down Twitter. And I'm talking about our accounts. I'm talking about those who are promoting the truth and trying to wake everybody up. They don't want everybody to wake up. The time of giving out free information, that those days are going to be over. Because they are going to start calling us domestic terrorists. They're all going to start villainizing us. Second Baruch, 48:33. For there shall not be found many wise at that time, and the intelligent shall be but a few. Moreover, even those who know shall most of all be silent. Now, why would this verse say that in these last times, describing these end times? Because we already understand that everybody's pretty much dumb at this point. Even people who pretend they be smart and know something, they're dumb. Anybody who doesn't know the knowledge about scripture, about the Most High, anybody outside of that is retarded to me. They don't know anything. When it says, there shall not be many wise at that time, and the intelligent shall be but a few. Moreover, even those who know shall most of all be silent. No, those who are going to know are going to stop telling people what's going to happen. Because why? They're starting to load up this Domestic Prevention Terrorist Act. I'm going to say this and keep saying it again. They're going to start calling us domestic terrorists. Even you awakened Israelites, we start talking about the synagogue of Satan. We start talking about scripture. Eventually, they are going to demonize scripture. Remember that mass shooting, that fake mass shooting in Jersey? They said, oh, the black Hebrew Israelites, and they posted scripture of what this guy posted, and was about Revelation 3:9. Those who say they are Jews, but they are not, but are the synagogue of Satan, they tried to demonize that scripture. So by demonizing that scripture, they're going to demonize us for exposing who they truly are. This is their time to shine. This is their time to crown their Antichrist. A brother emailed me and mentioned, this is something like what's going on right now. It's like the book of Esther. But let me tell you about the book of Esther. The book of Esther would never happen if Saul did what he was supposed to do in the book of Samuel. I'll go to 1 Samuel. Thus says Yahuwah, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up out of Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. So what Saul did was try to get sacrifices out of it. Try to like, oh, we made deals. We made side deals. Oh, we divided up the spoils and we're going to do a smoking offering to the Most High. I'm going to save Amalek. It was Samuel who had to take a sword and chop Amalek in pieces. That day was when the Most High said, when I tell you to get somebody, you damn well better get them. And this is what he has done to the enemies of Yasharel. This is why scripture states, Yahuwah is a man of war. He is a jealous God, a jealous Elohim. He had the Canaanites removed because of their abominable practices, the same practices that we have popularized and made into a corporation or a corporate America marketing strategy. We have taken what the Canaanites did and infused it with American society. This is why the Most High wanted man, woman, and child completely gone. Because if you take the man and the woman, the child will grow up to have hatred for his inheritance. He removed man, woman, family, child, everybody, because they weren't going to grow up and be nothing anyway. They wouldn't do any righteousness. It wasn't like if he told Joshua, you know what? Let the children be alive and raise them. No. Because the Most High didn't want any mixing of the bloodlines. I think a lot of people don't understand that. Oh, love is love. Like in American society, you preach love is love. You know why? Because Esau was the same way with love is love. He was told not to go into any Canaanite women. Rebecca couldn't stand Canaanite women because they were wicked. Esau married two of them. And then he got involved with the Horite. Esau is the real love is love. He is the most profane fornicator. So, of course, we have commercials where they're always showing you all these odd couples of odd races and odd backgrounds and odd nations. This is why the Most High doesn't want us mingling our bloodlines with any other nation. Because why? If you take, for example, take Drake. His father is an Israelite. Unawakened, but he's an Israelite. His mother is Jewish, white. He came out with a lighter skin. So then he has no attachment to his father's bloodline. So then the woman he picks is somewhat a French prostitute. I mean, a French porn star. Then he had a child with her, and that baby's almost completely white. He looks more like the grandmother. The Most High didn't want, if that's what was going to happen, if the Most High didn't step in and made sure and have rules and laws so we wouldn't be able to change color, like the polar bear could change color. If you take a black bear and raise him nothing but Antarctica and raise him in the snow, eventually his structure changes, his fur changes. He becomes polar bear. The Most High, if we let Esau have his hay and run this country all the way to damnation, the 12 tribes wouldn't be the 12 tribes in the scripture. It'd be 12 tribes of all these nations mixed up, which is what these camps keep preaching. These camps, the ones preaching, oh, the Native American is this tribe. The Spanish and Latinos are this tribe. That's that camp doctrine that the Most High would definitely be against, because all 12 tribes are completely black. And he wants to keep them that way. He don't even want us mingling with Egyptians. He didn't even really want us mingling with the Canaanites. But I know some of them had Canaanite wives. And this was before Deuteronomy. Even Moses was frowned upon by his sister and Aaron from marrying and having a child with the Midianite woman, which is really Abraham's, a nation of Abraham. Because Abraham married Keturah, which was the mother of the Midianites. So, when the Most High say, get them, remove everybody, because I don't want them having to be an enemy or having hatred towards my people. The Most High say, you only going to try my people once, and I'm going to get you up out of here. But because Saul didn't pay attention and Saul didn't do what he was supposed to do, the kingdom was ripped from him. The Most High in Scripture in Samuel states he repented for even making Saul a king. So when the Most High gives you orders to do something, you better do it. Not, oh, I'm going to do it tomorrow. Oh, I'm thinking about doing it. No. It gets done that day. So the reason why the book of Esther happened, because Haman, which is the descendant of Agag, Agag was the king of the Amalekites. Amalek, which is where the Amalekites come from, was the grandson of Esau. Imagine if we went back to where we are. If the Most High came out of those clouds and said, you know what? We're going back to the old ways right now. I guarantee it wouldn't be a lot of y'all alive. I'm not talking about a lot of y'all. I'm talking about these different nations. These different nations are all going to be obliterated. Because they have nothing but wickedness in them. And they have nothing else in them but to destroy this entire place and destroy people. They can't just stop with themselves. They got to destroy everybody. And this is what is kind of like a funny parallel what's going on right now with the book of Esther. Because it's almost the same damn bloodlines. The Edomites. So in Esther chapter 3, verse 8, and Haman said unto the king, when the Israelites were in bondage and had to serve out slavery to the Persians for sinning, when they were sent away for instruction, for a spanking, for the belt upside their butts, for that rod to come out. That's what they went into. They went into slavery to the Persians. So King, I can't even say this name, King Ashuerash, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. So us being set apart and Haman knowing what we done to Amalek and the Amalekites, because Saul let one of them get away. Now he's pissed. Now he's upset. Now he knows exactly who we are. So he getting good with the king and say, oh, you know what? You know, there's some people here that ain't following your laws. Now, take today. There's some people here that are not following the Noahide laws that's going to come out. There's some people here that are doing their own thing. They're not worshiping the beast. And the beast going to say, well, who are these people? Verse 9, if it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Yehudim's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to you, the people also, to do with them as it seems good to you. Verse 12, then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month. And there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province and to the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of King Ashuerash, was it written and sealed with the king's ring. And the Sepharim were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Yehudim, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published to all people that they should be ready against that day. So imagine today, that this beast system all of a sudden say, you know what? All these Israelites, all these set apart people who desire to follow Yahuwah, who are worshiping on their Shabbat, who are giving offerings and smoke offerings and drink offerings and meat offerings to the Most High and not to our beast. I want you to bring that guillotine out and round them all up. Now, I don't think this could happen. But it says it'll be a time of Jacob's trouble, but he will be saved out of it. Trust me, they're going to turn that pressure on us, and we're going to be saved out of that pressure. I can tell you that. Remind you, in Revelation, this beast system is really the Antichrist only has 3 years and some change to reign, which is what, 42 months? It ain't going to be a lifetime. So the Most High is already getting you comfortable with the time frame. It even says Satan may throw some of you in prison, but you're only going to be in prison for 10 days. You know how beautiful that is? So regardless of what's going to happen, we will be saved out of it. We are given a time schedule of how long this reign is going to be, how long this foolishness is going to be. Now, I'm not predicting when the Most High or when Yahushua is going to come back, because it says no man can predict the time. We're going to predict the hour, and it will become like a thief in the night. But he just gave us security. He gave us comfortability in the fact that this beast system is only going to be in power for 42 months. But this is the whole point. Imagine if we went back to the old ways and we were able to destroy these nations for being wicked. Trust me. Everybody would be a lot happier. We would all have space. We would have our own winery. We would all be good to each other. It would be righteousness reigning upon this earth. But because the world has been given into the hands of the wicked, and because Saul didn't do his job, the book of Esther happened, because this is what the Most High meant when he has to stamp out wickedness. So now he's just going to sit, Most High is going to sit back and wait for everybody to dig their own hole, or better yet, to hang themselves with their own rope. to put them on, put themselves in the air to get ready to hang themselves so everybody can go. This whole population, they get you to believe that this population thing is about Bill Gates and the elite. In reality, they are in service of demons. The demons don't know the other side of that. They only know or what they told, what they're supposed to know or what they're told to do. When they're told to tell Bill Gates and tell these billionaires, we want to take the population down. What they mean with righteousness on the righteousness side, what that means is the Most High is getting ready to remove wickedness and unrighteousness off this earth. How you think they're going to do that? By going through these vaccines, by going through man-made wars, by going to people killing each other over resources and not being protected in the spirit. All of this must come to play. Mass shootings, all of this must come to fruition. Get used to seeing bodies drop. They already in this B system, they're already preparing you for bodies to be dropped. You know how they're preparing you? If you remember The Running Man, go watch The Running Man and look at the intro to The Running Man. It talks about how people are bored because they don't have resources. They, you know, money is slim and people need to be entertained. So they entertain people with a show. But they needed more violence. They needed more gore. They want to see people die. That's The Running Man. If you watch the first intro to that, what are they doing now to get you prepared for like some Hunger Games type mess? Now they're trying to have a reality show, a reality game show based on the Squid Game. So they're going to round up 400 contestants to try to make a go at it. Over $4.5 million. After you just seen the brutality and goriness of the Squid Game, of people getting shot and killed and headshotted for playing the Simon Says game, imagine them doing that to people. That's what they're getting you ready for. They're getting ready for you to participate for money, for resources, a game that you, it's a life and death situation. They're already preparing you for that. It's going to be cute at first. Trust me, it's going to be cute at first. Everybody's going to be laughing. It's going to be like watching that Nickelodeon family game. Remember that Nickelodeon game where you had to jump in the slime to get the red flags and pass it to your family member? It's going to go from that to the Squid Game remake. They're trying to make it a game out of that. They're going to do that. And then slowly and surely, it's going to turn to bare-knuckle brawls and people getting shot and killed on screen. And everybody's going to be desensitized to it. Because what? The main issue is trying to get that money. They already gotten you into blood sacrificing or ritualistic blood sacrificing. They're already getting you used to that. Now, because they like people saying like, oh, this celebrity sacrificed their relatives. Oh, this rapper was sacrificed. They don't care that you find out. As long as you know that, oh, people were dying for fame and sacrificed for fame, you already programmed to low-key be like, damn, everybody does that. Everybody think like, damn, could I really win the Squid Games? If they really went to like doing headshots, could I really win? It's going to be people that's going to sign up for that. When you know you ain't got nothing to lose and you are in debt, oh, that looked like a good way out. But that's what's going on. But get used to it. Get used to bodies hitting the floor. It's going to be mass bodies hitting the floor. They're already programming for it. With the Beyonce album, Drake album. Like, it doesn't matter what they say in these albums. It really doesn't. It's enough to just keep you blinded, keep you dumbed down, keep you interested in their foolishness. All the way till you get to the fall, to where everything will start falling. And then they got to keep giving you like the bread and circus. Like the gladiators of old, of Rome. When things weren't working out in Rome, what do you think they were doing? They were having games. Some of them were burning Christians. Then they started getting into more morbid stuff. And like I said before, if Saul would have done his job, half the Amalekites and the Agagites and the Book of Esther wouldn't happen. And you look at this stuff today, the reason why we are not in power and the reason why you see all this wickedness is because we are not in power as our 12 tribes should be. That is the only reason. The reason why this world is wicked the way it is, it's because we are not in power. And that's what's going to happen when Yahushua comes through those clouds Everybody's who does not know us, who has not tried us down, will be spared. But all those who came in contact with us, just like the Amalekites came in contact with us when leaving Egypt, just like Haman and the Agagites came in contact with us when we were in Persia, everybody who has came in contact with us, who tried to rule over us, were destroyed. Get used to this theory. Get used to this prophecy. That this world is going to be flipped upside down on our account. And I feel sorry. I don't even feel sorry for America. I really don't. Because everybody been told to get their stuff in order, and nobody's getting their stuff in order. And the Most High probably sending these demons out and these spirits out to make sure you stay doing what you're doing, to give you over to a reprobate mind. So the Most High is not going to wake nobody up. You got to come to him to get woken up. You got to come to him to learn some understanding and some wisdom and some knowledge. You got to come to the Most High to be humbled. The one thing you don't want is for him to humble you through another nation like he did us. But like I said, the time is coming to stop praying for your enemies. That time is done. When you're about to see how people act and react to your righteousness, react to your aura, your glow, trust me, they're going to hate you. Your spirit is going to be irritable to them. I know a lot of y'all, this walk is lonely for you, but I'm telling you, it's lonely for a reason. Your spirit can't be around everybody else who's living worldly. Get used to it. I don't care if they're your real relatives, your close BFFs, your college friends, your high school friends, your high school sweethearts. It don't matter. Learn to separate yourself now. Because I'm telling you, when people start getting more invested spiritually and emotionally in this world, they're going to start thinking like these occult mystery religions. And what these occult mystery religions were based on was hypersexuality and blood sacrificing. Giving up anybody to make sure they can get ahead. And everybody's going to be out for self. I stated before, accountability with this generation is almost non-existent. So they could care less if they offer up you. If you're not prepared. If you're not walking this walk right. Do not allow them to make you food. Do not allow them to make you a ritual. Like I said before, I've been seeing Freemason bumper stickers on regular cars. It ain't on Maybachs and Bentleys and stuff like that. It's on regular people's cars. All it takes is them wanting to know a little bit more of their religion that gets them into blood sacrificing. And they don't even need to have a come up to be famous. It could be just a higher position in their job, a higher position in their career. And that could be anything. It don't have to be a lawyer, a judge, a politician. It could be just their own electrician firm. It could be the CEO of their own plumbing firm. You don't know what these people want. But when you don't have the resources, the understanding, and the readiness to prepare yourself what's going to happen, you're ready to sacrifice anything and anybody. All they need to do is tell you, we want this person. And if you're not truly awakened to how your enemy operates, you're going to walk yourself in a situation that you really going to have to pray to get out of. And you're going to be shook. I'd rather not you learn how I learned. I mean, I was in there and had my stomach crunched up when I was in a situation I shouldn't have been in that could have cost me my life. I never want to put myself to that. So I just separate and I don't want to be around anybody. Because your spirit, your glow is going to irritate those who are living worldly, those who have a low frequency. Your frequency is going to vibrate at such a higher range of them, it's going to irritate them. Just like the man that came out of the cave full of demons. Before Yahushua sent him into the pigs, he had a legion of demons on him. And what did they tell him? Like, we know who you are. This is not our time to be destroyed. Why are you here? They are in fear. So come across people who may have a legion of demons on them. They are going to be irritated by you. You need to scrape that relationship you have with them and learn to live righteously and learn to live by yourself and learn solitude after a while. Trust me, you'll be comfortable. Trust me, after your first scare, or when you guys come upon your first scare in the spirit, you're going to understand what I just said to you. So to prepare you, I don't do this whole pray for my enemy thing because it's not the time to be praying for enemies. So I'll go to Lamentations. Lamentations 3, verse 55. I call upon your name, O Yahuwah, out of the low dungeon. You have heard my voice. Hide not your ear at my breathing, at my cry. You drew near in that day that I called upon you. You said, fear not. O Adonai, you have pleaded the causes of my soul. You have redeemed my life. O Yahuwah, you have seen my wrong. Judge my cause. You have seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations against me. You have heard their reproach, O Yahuwah, and all their imaginations against me. The lips of those that rose up against me and their device against me all the day. Behold, they're sitting down and they're rising up. I am their music. Render unto them a recompense, O Yahuwah, according to the work of their hands. Give them sorrow of heart, your curse unto them. Persecute and destroy them in anger from under the heavens of Yahuwah. This is how you pray against your enemies.